Shall we pray? Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful to once again be in your house this evening. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would bless us as we've already been blessed from song, being able to sing these songs of praise and thanksgiving unto you. And truly, we are looking forward to the day when Jesus Christ shall come, and we shall see him face to face. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that tonight as we look in your word, that you would bless our hearts, that you would give us understanding, that you would encourage us, and where needed, we pray that you would reprove, rebuke, and exhort. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, tonight for our son and his family as they're traveling the highway. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'd give them safety as they travel. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles this evening to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 14. And I hope to this evening be able to finish up the main point that we started a few weeks ago called God Commands Ezekiel. And we started off by looking at, you tell them, the Lord God says. The Lord God says. And then, from there, and last week we dealt primarily with the sub-point under that. You tell them the Lord God says that according to the multitude of their idols, and the sub-point was, that we looked at was according to their desires. You see, their idols was a product of their desires. Our idols are a product of our desires. They are our God. They are that which we follow after, which are contrary to Jehovah, contrary to Lord God. Tonight we want to look a little more at that thought, according to the multitude of their idols, will he speak to them? And consider this subpoint, according to the abundance of their idols. According to the abundance of their idols. Primarily, that's what the word multitude of idols refers to, the abundance of their idols. We've talked about this the last couple of weeks. We talked about it when we looked at the 8th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and we saw the multitude of idols that they worship. There probably wasn't a creature, wasn't anything that God had made that they knew about that they weren't worshiping in that 8th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. So the idols, most likely, that these elders of the house of Israel had set up in their hearts were of that multitude. They were of that abundance. They were that abundant. They were probably, well, we know from the study of the 8th chapter of Ezekiel that it was a practice not only of the people, of the priest, and of the elders as well. And so we find these elders before Ezekiel, and the Lord God tells Ezekiel, you tell them, the Lord God says, that he will answer them, and he will answer them according to the abundance of their idols. Shall their answer be? Their answer will be according to the abundance of their idols. I want us to think about that tonight. We're going to look at scriptures of what he has said to Israel, to Judah. But let's try to make application as well as to ourselves in everything that he says to Israel and to Judah. Turn with me, first of all, to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy in chapter 32. Look with me at verses 37 and 38. Deuteronomy 32, verses 37 and 38. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drink the wine of their drink offering? Where are they? He even says that they were their God to the point that they were their rock. We know there's only one solid rock, the man Christ Jesus. But he said, where are those gods? Where are the rock that they trusted in, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. You trusted in them. You worshiped them. They are what you were trusting in. Well, you continue to trust in them. You let them help you. We just recently studied in Sunday school, and we see how that Baal, how he helped those 450 prophets, didn't we? He didn't help them a bit. It's because he was unable. He was no God at all. Wasn't even a living creature. But as I thought about that this afternoon, I thought about, what about our pursuits? What about our pursuits in life, in the world? The things that we're trusting at, the thing our desires and passions are after. We know better than to run to them when we're in trouble, don't we? We run to God when we're in trouble, when we're in real trouble. We don't trust in our wealth or things that we have amassed. We don't even trust in somebody else. What if God were to say to us, as he did to Israel, where's the God you trusted in? Where's the rock that you're standing? Let them help you. Do we want God to say that to us? Turn with me to the book of Judges and notice what he said over here in the book of Judges in the 10th chapter. Judges chapter 10. In verses 13 and 14. He said, "Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation." And again, I had to think, how many times do we forsake God in the pursuit of our desires and our passions? Something that we deem more important at the time. Than God. Than doing the will of God. Than doing His bidding. Than worshiping Him. Do we not realize that when we do that, we have forsaken Him? What if in that instance, or in the multiple times of those instances, He would say to us, "I will deliver you no more. I will help you no more." What if He said to us, whatever the situation may be, go cry to them. Let them help you. Let them deliver you. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 10, we've looked at this one in the past. Continues to be a good one. Still in the Word of God. At least it was this afternoon. I trust it still is. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 3. "And what will ye do in the day of visitation? And in the desolation which shall come from far? To whom will ye flee for help? And where will ye leave your glory?" When in the day of visitation, what are you going to do? Who are you going to run to? What are you going to do in the day of desolation? Thank God I'm saved. But how awful. What a shame that a saved individual should forsake God so often. What a shame that we should put ourselves in those situations. What a shame that, we're here at scheduled worship times. But what a shame that we should be here and then not worship Him. Do we not realize and understand how precious He is? How wonderful He is? How deserving of it He is? Of our worship and our praise of Him. Look what He said through the mouth of Solomon in the Proverbs, the first chapter. And another passage of Scripture we've looked at three times of recent months. Verse 25 of the first chapter says, "But ye have set at naught all my counsel. You set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. How many times do we sit and hear the preaching of the Word of God and the reproof from the Word of God? How many times do we pick it up in our devotions and we read it and we're reproved in it, but we hear it not? Or maybe sometimes, I know I'm the only one that does this. Sometimes I'm reading something and my mind's over here thinking about this, and I'll get down so far and I'll say, what did I just read? I have no idea what I just read. You know what I do most of the time when I realize that? I go back and start reading over again. Find out what I missed. God says in verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Oh, how terrible. How terrible. If God lets us go on in our calamity. And there are some Christians that he has done that. they've loved indulging in things of the world and being disobedient to his commands, and he's let them suffer for it in their calamity. Saved, yes, but oh, suffering immensely in this life. You see, their answer shall be according to the abundance of their idols. When they stand in need of his help, they'll not have it. He'll tell them, you go to the gods that you trusted in. You go to the rock that you trusted in. The judgment of God will be according to what their hearts are. According to what their hearts are. You see, you and I forget a lot of the time, most of the time. You and I forget that God knows our heart. I don't know your heart. You don't know my heart. But God knows our heart. He knows where we're at on Sunday morning. He knows where we're at on Sunday afternoon. He knows where we're at tonight. God knows our heart. You see, their answer is going to be according to where their hearts are, not according to their showy pretense that they put forth. Oh, we can put on a good show on Sunday morning, can't we? We get all dutied up in our nice suit and tie us guys and ladies in their pretty dresses and makeup and hair just right. Of course, I don't have any hair to worry about, whether it's in place or not, or just right. My wife worries about that for me. She said, you need a haircut. So. I'm talking about we can put on a show of being so religious. Just as these elders
These elders, what were they doing? They come into Ezekiel and they sat down before Ezekiel like they're waiting to hear something important from God.
God knew their heart, didn't he? Ezekiel didn't know. But God revealed it to Ezekiel where their heart was. Now he's charged with giving them a message. And in this message, he lets them know what they're in, what will be their end, what will be the end of this. Look with me in our text in the 14th chapter. We just finished up dealing with the thought from the last part of verse 4. But look at what he says in verse 5. Let's read where we're looking at in verse 4. I, the Lord, the last half of verse 4, I, the Lord, I, Jehovah, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. I will answer him. Him that cometh before the prophet. Him that cometh into the house of the Lord. According to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Did you understand what we just read? They were all estranged from him because of their idols. They that come to the prophet seeking a word from God, God will answer them according to the multitude of their idols. That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. How often do we, as children of God, come into the house of the Lord to hear from the Lord, but we're estranged from God because of the idols in our heart? And I don't know it, and you don't know it, but God knows it. That is, you don't know mine, and I don't know yours, but God knows them. And we all, if we'll be honest, we all know our idols that we have in our hearts. In comparison, turn with me to the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea, chapter 13. I believe this is another passage we've looked at recently. Verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. In me was your help, but you've destroyed yourself. Isn't that a charge that he's laying to these elders, to Israel, to the house of Israel, to the house of Judah? Because of the idols in their hearts? They're responsible for their own destruction.
Many times we're responsible for our own trials and tribulations that we go through in this life because of sin. Now, not all. Some of us just to draw us closer to God. In fact, I'm convinced that much of it is to just draw us closer to God. You think about those trials and afflictions that come upon you, not because of sin, well, even because of sin. Now, I mean, when they come upon you because of sin, isn't it to drive you back to Him? And then when they come upon you not because of sin, doesn't it draw you closer to Him? Don't you talk to Him about it? Don't you go to His Word, seeking answers, seeking help from Him? That's a good benefit, isn't it? You see, it's all part of that refining process in which we shall come forth as silver and as gold tried in the fire. The ruin of sinners, lost sinners, condemned sinners, is due to their estrangement from God. They're estranged from God. They're enemies of God. They don't want anything to do with God. They don't like it, in fact, when you point out their false religion. Had a woman jump me a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know why she didn't ever jump Brother France about it. But when Brother France was living up there, and he's talking to her, he just told her, You crucify Christ over every Mass. You're crucifying Him every Mass. Again and again and again. And she saw me out there. She wanted to come tell me, well, I don't crucify Him over and again every Mass. Well, they do. They may not say it in word, but they do it in practice. Over and over again. They're responsible for their own destruction. Their hearts are evil and wicked, and they're estranged from God, and they don't like to be told of the true and living God. They don't like to be told about the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation in through Him and through Him only. No other means, no other way. See, some creature, some object of their choosing has dominion in the heart that God should have. And with most people, it's self. Well, my way is as good as your way. My way is good enough. No, it's not. My way is not even good enough. Your way is not good enough. It's got to be God's way. Turn with me again to the book of Isaiah, chapter 3. Isaiah, chapter 3. Look with me here, verse 9. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. And they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Woe unto their soul! For they have rewarded evil unto themselves. You see, men and women today don't like to be told about that. They don't like to be told they're responsible for their own condemnation because they will not believe. Verse 11. Woe unto the wicked! It shall be ill with them, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. Look what he said in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. That goes for Christians and non-Christians. All they that hate me love death. They're already dead. They're already abiding under condemnation because they hate God, because they will not believe. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 18. Well, let's begin with verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the so-called religious world loves that verse. They don't understand it, but they love that verse. They just need to sit down and read it once. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to them that would believe on him. Whoever it is, whoever will believe on him. But notice this. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth on the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Not by the handiwork of God, by his own doings. He's condemned. Well, let's see if that plays out. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He hath not believed. He won't believe. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Light came into the world that they might believe. But here's condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They just love persisting in their own evil deeds. They love wallowing in the mire, in the mud, in the swine's husk,
where the prodigal son was.
For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. They hate God. You think back before you were saved, you didn't really like God. Oh, you might have said with mouth, but really in the heart you didn't, because you persisted on in your own evil wickedness. I did. And I went to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. And sometimes I led singing. Sometimes I taught a Sunday school class. But I went on and did my own thing. Did it my way. And I wouldn't come to him. What is that? Turn with me to the 5th chapter of John. Verse 38. Jesus telling these religious people. In verse 38, and ye have not his word abiding in you. He's speaking to religious people. And you have not his word. You have not the word of God abiding in you, he tells them. For whom he has sent, him ye believe not. You will not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. That you have to give up all your desires and all your passions and follow Jesus Christ, believing and trusting only in him. Search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Yes, these scriptures, you can search them and search them and search them, and they testify of me, Jesus said. But notice what he said in verse 40. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. You search the scriptures, and those scriptures testify of me, and you won't come to me. You still won't come to me that you might have life. Look what he says. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. You're religious in pretense. You're religious in showy professing. But you have not the love of God abiding in you. Chapter 6. Verse 38. Jesus says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And praise God, There were some of those that were condemned because of their unbelief and loving their wickedness, loving their evil deeds. Praise God, there were some of them that God loved and gave them to the Son to come and purchase their redemption on the cross of Calvary, and those He ordained to believe that they might have eternal life. The Jews then murmured at Him because He said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to Me except the Father which hath sent Me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Over in the fifth chapter, He said, "You will not come to Me. No man will come to Him." And over here He says, "Even if you did will to come to Me, you lack the ability to be able to come to Me." Apart from the Holy Father bringing you. It is written in the prophets, "And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard, hath learned of the Father, cometh unto Me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me hath everlasting life." And everyone that believes on Him were given to the Son before the foundation of the earth by the Father. And they were ordained to believe. Just to show you that is Scripture, turn with me to the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. In verse 48, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life," did what? Believed. But only those that were ordained to eternal life believed. They are those that were given to the Son in the council halls of eternity. And the Son came, shed His blood for them, and only them. Oh, His blood was sufficient. Sufficient if the Father had loved the whole world, every man, woman, boy, and girl ever born on the face of the earth, if the Father had loved every one of them, the Son's blood would have been sufficient to save every one of them. But those weren't the ones He shed His blood for. He only shed His blood for those that the Father loved, gave to the Son, and those are the ones the Son came and shed His blood for on the cross of Calvary. Well, we got to quit there tonight. You see, we that are born again, we that are saved, will not be carrying idols around in our hearts. That is the desires and passions of the world. They ought to be gone. They ought to be behind us. We ought to be seeking to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ.